about. You gotta put it in perspective.
Hey Nat, don't forget, daylight saving ends tonight.
I am sick of this daylight shenanigans. They're gonna come here and take my hour. They're gonna come into my house and take my hour.
No, the clocks go back.
So we're gaining an hour. You get an extra hour. Well, in that case...
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
Daylight savings time is the worst.
It's actually daylight saving time.
That's what I said.
No, you said daylight savings time. It's daylight saving time.
I don't hear the difference.
Listen closely. Daylight saving time.
Exactly as Friend Cyborg said it.
No, daylight saving time. Saving.
Yeah, daylight savings time. That's what I said. We just keep saying the same thing.
No, you are saying savings. It's not savings. It's singular. Saving. It's daylight saving time.
Oh, you mean daylight saving time.
And now.
Don't you see? Daylight savings is just an imaginary construct.
It's daylight saving. It's not plural.
This is tearing us all apart.
Our feature presentation.
Remember Jimmy Kimmel used to say that it would screw him up for months?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Months.
Yeah.
Do you believe months?
No.
No.
I didn't believe weeks.
Maybe a couple days?
Maybe.
Hey, it was light out, though, this morning for me. Which was a change, which is nice, I guess, getting up in the sunlight again.
It's
how about for y'all?
That's great for you.
Not so much?
Yeah, real dark.
It's pretty dark, yeah.
Just dark.
Darker than usual, I'd say.
Dark at night and dark this morning.
Right.
So,
yeah.
So you'll never see the sun again.
I believe we will not.
Yeah. I'm not going to lie when I tell you, and I'm sure Chip agrees with me on this, I'm super glad this weekend's over.
Yep.
It's a lot of weekend for me, man.
Yeah. That's quite a choice you're making.
It keeps me busy,
yeah.
But I'm fighting the good fight, and I'm winning the good fight.
Man, what are you basing that on?
I'm basing that on the fact that I'm winning the good fight.
It gets easier
every year, that more and more people are getting the message. It's getting out there, and I'm winning.
Okay.
Hey, Bean, yeah. I just wanted to call and say happy daylight savings time.
Oh, come on.
It's daylight savings time this weekend.
Standard time, actually.
Daylight savings. Daylight savings.
There's no S.
Daylight savings. Okay. Daylight savings. Daylight savings.
Getting a lot of mockery from some people, though.
I mean, you should. Because this is your big cause.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Everyone needs a cause, man.
Right, but this one.
Everyone needs to find something that's they're passionate about, that's important to them. Mm-hmm. And this is mine is saving, not savings.
All right.
Daylight savings.
Nope.
No one gets a scene.
I mean, that's another opinion that's popular as well. So. How was y'all's weekend? Allie, how are you?
Good. Thank you so much for asking. Yes, I did. Nothing too exciting to report, but it was nice. And
did you do things with people?
Yes, human beings. Just one night, though. You can't do two in a row. I'm not 20.
I mean,
come on. But yeah, it was good. It was good.
How about you, Monkey?
Good. Hockey, good.
You played hockey?
Yeah, I know. I watched.
Oh, watched hockey.
Went
to
a Kings game, yes.
Yeah.
Very excited.
They lost, right?
They tied, and then they lost in overtime.
Still got a point, right?
Right.
So suck it, Bean.
Look, I don't want the Kings to lose. I like
the
Kings.
They lost, right?
Yeah. No, I was trying to remember.
Ew.
Over the weekend, the game that I saw, I thought they had lost.
I will tell you a really bizarre thing that happened, and that's that the Kings were behind 3-0 going into the third period. And then they scored a goal within the first minute of the third period. And then, and this never happens, but a guy scored from the red line, from mid-ice.
Oh, just slap shot from the red line?
No, he sort of faked like he was going to send it around the boards.
Uh-huh.
And the goaltender moved around out of the goal to try and stop it.
Faked him out.
Yeah, and then just shot it right into the net from the red line.
I feel like they should do that more if it works.
And the announcer said, I've never seen that before.
Yeah.
I mean, occasionally you'll see someone shoot from there if they think the goalie's not ready, but he just basically juked the goaltender, and the goaltender went out of the goal, and he was just like, thank you, boop.
Wow.
I love that. I love trick plays in sports, don't you?
I do too.
Like there were in the awful, awful, awful Seahawks Redskins game yesterday, there was a run that involved two lateral passes. And you just don't see those very often, but they're legal and you can do them. And when you do them and they work, you go, hey, that was a good thought. That was a good plan.
Wasn't that a pretty good last 4 minutes, though?
Of the Seahawks game?
Of the game?
No. I mean, it was exciting in that there was a lot going on.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But the Seahawks were awful in every way.
Except for Russell.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll talk more about that later on. First, though, I've rarely been as frustrated with an article as I am with this one from the Omaha World Herald. Not only should the person involved in the story be in jail, so should the person who wrote the story, Aaliyah Conley. I'm coming after you, Aaliyah Conley. This is a story about a man who 30 times a year or so would call and send strippers to his neighbor's house. Okay? He thought it was hilarious,
as it is.
Women would show up on the front porch of this couple, this married couple, and start dancing. They would strip and then, seeking payment, would try to open the front door or ring the doorbell, which would wake up the couple's two young children. Now, already this article is so effing confusing because why were they stripping on the front porch before they even knew if anybody was home, before if anybody was even going to be there?
Yeah, that's weird.
Then they would try to open up the front door, ring the doorbell, and 30 times in a year, this went on for 4 years.
No way.
No way. Exactly. Right, Allie? There's no way.
Uh-uh.
Because the first time this happens, you go out to your porch and you say, who sent you? And tell them I didn't order you. And you send them away. The second time they come back, you say, look, tell the people that I'm never going to order a stripper. Anytime you ever get a call to this address, it's not real. And leave. There's no way this happens over 100 times.
Yeah, I can't imagine either, just from a business standpoint of them going out there every time and not getting paid.
And police would get involved because that's harassment.
Exactly. Yes. Thank you, Allie. The police would have been all over this after two times, I would think.
Yeah.
You'd go, that's it. That's enough, right? Well, the visits and the women's actions were being orchestrated by a neighbor who lives across the street, Douglas Goldsberry, who would order the strippers and then would stand in his kitchen and masturbate while he watched the strippers go to the people's house.
Oh, God.
He derived pleasure out of the situation. And he has been sentenced to 4 years in jail, which is the same amount of time that he sent strippers to the neighbor's house. By the way, he had already served 177 days, so he's got less than 2 years to go. Too many questions about this story, right?
Bean's gotta know.
No.
How did it happen? And after a month, after 6 months,
right?
After a year, you can't. I mean, you can't one time ask the stripper, "Hey, who ordered this?" and then go over and confront the neighbor, or have the police go over and confront the neighbor.
However, having said that, if you're the neighbor and you find it funny.
Oh, he doesn't find it funny.
No, the neighbor and his wife and two small children did not find it funny.
If you're the guy who sent them.
Yeah, he doesn't find it funny.
He's getting turned on by it.
I see. Into
it. He just doesn't want to admit that he's watching. So he doesn't order him to his own house. I thought, is it a prank on his neighbor as well?
No, it's that he's watching from the kitchen doing something.
Taking care of business. Right.
Yeah.
Right. You don't have to do the air.
The hand. Yeah. Okay, you got it? Right. I just, gosh. There's so much wrong with this story.
There's everything wrong with this story. And I apologize for starting your day with it. But the most important takeaway here is this: the author of this article, Aaliyah Conley, needs to be put down, right?
I don't think that's
the
takeaway.
Seems extreme.
Yeah. I feel like she's earned it with the.
That's extreme.
With this kind of reporting. Oh, there's an email address on here. Okay.
Oh, no.
Please don't email
don't
her.
Don't do it.
Please don't.
I am on it.
Just
it.
Keep it to yourself for
Look,
this week.
Like the neighbor.
Well, I just want to ask some follow-up questions. Would you guys be interested to hear more about how this happened?
No.
There's
I'm
a lot
good.
That's been left out of this article.
Yeah.
We're good.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're able to look at this story and go, you know what? Heard enough? Enjoyed it? Move
Did
it on. Did you read the story?
Okay.
Yeah. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean, shall we?
The only thing to consider is this. I see your point.
Thanks for that daylight saving tweet.
Wow.
Bean.
Wow. Well done.
And by that, I mean thanks for that daylight saving tweet, Bean. Yeah, he was on fire this weekend. Mm-hmm. And he was trying to correct the world like he does.
Yeah.
Like you do. We have Andrew Siciliano on, talking about the NFL this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
We have tickets to see Morrissey at the Hollywood Bowl.
How about that?
Pretty cool. We have Harvey Levin, like we do on Mondays. We have Bean Makes Us Guess. We're going to talk about the holiday program for our charity friends and helpers. And you finished work and you went out in a blaze of glory.
Mm.
We're going to take those calls coming up this morning as well. We'll take a break. We will come back with the... Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network will join us a little bit later on this morning to take a look at this past weekend's NFL action. It's the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock at 6:55.
Sounds to me like Allie's in for Ralph Garman with the showbiz beat. What's going on?
It's true. I was going to bring you the story of Alec Baldwin melting down on Twitter.
Again.
And how repugnant that man is. But there's so much more since the last time I looked at that story. So I'm going to need a little extra time to really tackle all things Baldwin. That man.
Is
wow.
He losing it?
You know
an anger problem, for starters.
He's got serious issues. Yeah, you do a good Trump. Other than that, you are a dick.
Well, he's a very talented actor and entertainer.
I don't know.
There's a reason he won all those Emmys for 30 Rock. He's a great actor, but he's got some problems as a human.
Ugh. That's all I'm saying.
Right.
But you know what else I'm saying? Happy National Nacho Day. Happy Basketball Day. Happy Saxophone Day.
That's a thing? Saxophone Day?
These are, well, yeah, because it's the birthday of Antoine Joseph Adolphe Sax.
Sure.
He was the Belgian musical instrument designer. Played the flute and the clarinet. And then decided, hey, these bugles and valves could be cool in another instrument. I'll call it the saxophone.
Yeah, congrats on that.
Thank you. I'd just like to bring you what the day is and what we should be celebrating. Very sad. Over the weekend, Jimmy Fallon's 68-year-old mother passed away.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah. He apparently canceled shows on Friday so he could go to the hospital and be with her, and luckily he was there. An NBC spokesperson said Jimmy was at his mother's bedside along with her other loved ones when she passed away. So tapings this whole week have been canceled, and they're just going to run reruns this week. But, yeah, I don't...
That sucks.
I don't know what happened, if it was she was sick or something, but 68. That's very young. That is just very sad stuff. Taylor Swift.
I feel like you have to do this story.
Her new album,
Big Week for Taylor,
right. Reputation, won't be out until Friday, but mm-hmm. It's already sold 400,000 copies because of all pre-sales from everything from Amazon, Target, Walmart, iTunes, whatnot. But Target is saying it's the chain's biggest ever music pre-order, and it's on track to be the biggest album of 2017 into 2018.
I don't know why it is she's one of the few that still sells records when almost no one else does. I mean, she's had 3 albums in a row that have sold over 1 million copies in their first week. Why?
We don't care. Dude, we don't care. We don't care. Don't care, don't care, don't care. Oh, God, don't care, don't care.
I mean, I know she's awesome and whatnot, but there are lots.
Did you not hear the kid from South
Carolina? There are lots
care.
Of.
Dude, we don't care. We no, but don't
can you hear this?
Care. But, don't, but care don't care, don't care.
Right, but my.
Oh, God, don't care. Don't
yeah,
care.
Right.
Yep, yeah, but why but just her, though, is my question.
Right.
Okay.
Kanye West made his first live appearance in over a year on Saturday night. He hopped on stage with Kid Cudi during the rapper's concert at Aragon Ballroom, and they did Kanye's Father, Stretch My Hands Part 1 together, and the crowd went nuts. You'd love that.
I would.
Bean?
You're a Kid Cudi, and he comes out, that would be great.
That'd be huge.
Yeah. Yeah,
huge.
It's nice to have Kanye back.
It is nice to have Kanye back.
As long as he's not yelling at us. From stage anymore.
No.
Okay, good.
No. Nobody wants that.
Right.
I also saw a story over the weekend of Kanye picking up Italian food at a restaurant. All right, cool. Not much of a story. But it's then that he brought the Italian food to Nobu to have dinner with his wife.
What?
So does he not like sushi? So he's like, listen, I'm going to bring my own meal to a really nice restaurant. I just thought that was fascinating.
I gotta tell you, I sort of love that.
Right?
I mean, the boldness of... That's
the
crazy.
Balls yeah. on him to be like, hey, Nobu, I know you're pretty well known for your food.
Right.
I got some Italian in the bag, and I'm just gonna sit here. And does he ask for a plate? How does it work? I need
what
more...
What can I get for you? Got my own. Thanks.
I need more info on this. I am fascinated. It is a good time. We will tackle that and other tough issues coming up in the next Showbiz Beat. Some birthdays for you. Ethan Hawke is 47. Sally Field, aw, she's so cute, 71. Rebecca Romijn is 45. Thandie Newton is 45. Taryn Manning is 39. Actress Emma Stone is 29. I'm Allie McKay, and for Ralph Garman, walking the Showbiz Beat.
6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 7:06.
Look, I know the time. Nope, don't eat it. Don't eat it yet. Not eat it yet. No, we're save that for the future. We're doing the future in a minute. Okay. I know the time change is tough on a lot of people, but are we going to have Kevin reading the wrong time all day long today?
I'm Ron Burgundy.
Yes. You do read what's in front of you. It's a gift.
Many listeners, and apparently we are, still don't need the echo. Okay. Save that for great news. Many listeners have pointed out that Kevin did say 6:55 instead of 5:55.
Right.
Allie and I are just immune to it. We just tune you out in general.
Didn't even hear it.
So yeah. I didn't hear
it. That's good, I guess. But then listeners catch it. But
can we make some sort of an adjustment on the clock or something?
Yeah, normally what we have to do, and I'm not kidding you, every single time daylight savings comes up, we have to take a piece of paper and we have to write a giant number on it and tape it up over the actual number that's on the clock, because they haven't figured out by now Monday morning to change the clocks.
Yeah.
So I have a digital clock that says right now 7:07, and I have another one that's an analog one that says, that one's right now. They just changed it. No, they didn't. No, it's still screwed up.
That says 6:50.
I did tell you that.
You okay?
One's the right time.
Well, now they're. I thought they were at least the same. They're not even the same.
No.
Now I have to choose,
dude.
And if I choose, they're both wrong.
Well, one is really wrong. One's just off by an hour.
They'll get to it by Thursday or Friday. Again, don't need the echo yet.
Okay, it's 7:06:07. It's six. It's 6 o'clock hour.
Uh huh.
Plus 7 minutes.
Okay.
Now,
hey, you can win tickets to see Morrissey this weekend at the Hollywood Bowl. That's coming up on the show. And also K-Rock's Six Flags Magic Mountain Takeover, which is fast approaching on the 18th. Got those both on the show today. Monday morning means we check into the newsroom at TMZ.com with our old friend Harvey Levin. How are you, Harvey?
I'm good, guys. Good morning.
Morning.
Great to have you on. I got to tell you, when I saw the news the morning after the Dodgers lost the World Series, which was so heartbreaking. I'm sure you have a lot of Dodgers fans there in the newsroom, right, Harvey?
Yep.
That was tough. And then I saw, talk about adding insult to injury, that poor Yasiel Puig had his home broken into while he was playing in Game 7 of the World Series. I thought how terrible that was and how much of an epidemic this has become in Hollywood with so many stars that have very public schedules. People know when they're on home. This is awful.
Well, it's awful, but there is, I don't know if I want to say a silver lining, but I'll tell you what happened. So, yeah, it's true. Everything you said is true, except... You know what they stole? Because he was hit by burglars who got $500,000 worth of jewelry back in March. So he was hit hard.
Oh, so this is the second time.
Second time, but guess how much they got this time? They got $150 in costume jewelry. He learned his lesson.
Do you think he put that out just in case?
I hope so.
Me too.
I hope so. Now we got him out. We got him out at the Lakers game last night, and he was great. I mean, he said, I have too blank and much money in my life. And he said, I ain't worried about that blank.
That's awesome.
That's a crazy attitude to have. I mean, look, he didn't lose a lot of money, but he still had strangers in his house, and I think that would upset a lot of people. It would make them way more uncomfortable than what was stolen.
Well, especially twice.
Yeah.
But, you know, he is he has a $42 million deal that he signed in 2012, and it's 7 years. He's collected just shy of $35 million, so he's not hurting for cash.
He's not hurting.
That's sort of refreshing to have somebody just go, eh.
He was even better than, eh. You got to go to the site. MC Sports got this. It's fantastic.
That is very funny. All right, we were talking earlier this morning. Allie brought us the news that Kanye West has come up out of the ground, and now we have, what, 6 more weeks of winter? How does this work with Kanye?
That's how it works.
That's funny. It's kind of interesting. So he was, over the weekend, Kid Cudi was at a performance, at a concert in Chicago, and Kanye jumped up on stage, and they sang together. And what's significant is it's almost a year to the day since the last time he was on stage. Remember when he canceled the San Pablo tour?
Right.
It was in November of last year. And he was on the rails, and ultimately, like 2 weeks after he canceled, he ended up in a psych ward at UCLA, and he had some serious problems with his mental breakdown. But he's bounced back. He really has in every way. And I think this is significant because I know AEG wanted to resume this concert, and he did too. And I don't know whether this is a precursor to that, but they did want to either resume the St. Pablo tour or just start a new one. But I do know also that he's writing music, and usually when that happens, it goes hand in hand with the tour. So Kanye is getting back on track.
Harvey, what about him showing up to dinner at Nobu with Italian food takeout from another restaurant? I'm obsessed with this story. Like, did he ask for a plate? How does it work? Were the people at Nobu like, not a problem, sir? Enjoy your spaghetti.
You know, you're not going to kick a Kardashian or a Kanye West out of Nobu. You're just not going to.
If he brings extra food, you just go, you need a knife for that? Knife and fork?
I mean, I think maybe they're testing Nobu, but Nobu can't tell him no. Can you imagine?
No.
That would be a disaster, because so much of these restaurants, I mean, look, Nobu make a lot of money based on tourists who come to town hearing, oh, Nobu's the place celebrities go.
Right.
And the biggest celebrities now are, you know, the Kardashians and Kanye, and they do not want to lose them.
But how bizarre to see a guy bring in takeout for your meal. I mean, I've never heard of that.
I did that once.
What?
Well, there was alcohol involved.
Okay, all right.
But it was when I was at Channel 2, and I can't remember what it was. We went to this shrimp place, and nobody really wanted shrimp, and I don't know why then we went, but somebody had the bright idea of bringing something. I forgot what it was.
Harvey, we were at a
didn't kick us out.
We were at a K-Rock Christmas party many years ago, and Kevin, you will remember this story. And I can't remember what it was. It was like on a Tuesday night, because you know how upscale K-Rock is. And they whatever they served was awful. It was some sort of awful, like, crawfish stew or something.
And it had his little eye sticking out so you could look at his head. I was like, no one wants this.
So we ordered a pizza. We had a pizza sent in at the Christmas party. And sure enough, Domino's or somebody shows up and carries a pizza looking for the Kevin and Bean table. And we just sat there and had pizza at the fancy dinner.
And everyone in there applauded because none of them liked the food.
Right? So jealous.
You know, now you see, it's not just Kanye. Kanye is late to the party.
Right, but that's Nobu. You know what I mean? Like,
that's true.
That's a whole other level.
Yeah,
I'm
guessing they have stuff with eyes in it, too.
Yeah. Sure.
Good stuff. You can keep up with all these stories and so much more at TMZ.com. Don't forget, TMZ airs on Fox throughout the day on Channel 11, TMZ Live, Monday through Friday at 4, same channel, Fox Channel 11, and TMZ Sports, Monday through Friday at midnight on Fox Sports 1. Harvey, we missed you last week. Great to have you back. We'll do it again next Monday. Thank you, sir.
Okay, guys. We'll see you.
All right. I think this is going to be fun, you guys. It could be a disaster. We could go down in flames with this segment, but I think it's going to be fun. Are you ready?
We're ready.
Time for B Mix's Guess.
B Mix's Guess, yeah.
Ooh, ooh.
B Mix's Guess, yeah.
Who gets penis slapped?
Bean is a dick.
Pretty dope, man.
Just wanna tell ya.
I am the dumbest human that ever lived.
Now it's time for B Mix's Guess.
Guess.
Like several of those sound bites are taken out of context. I have no place in the intro for this game.
You're correct.
You're breaking up.
I'm not sure why penis slapping has to be involved. All right, Bean makes this guess. I think this is a good one, you guys. And I asked you off air to have your phones ready. If you would, please open up your phones to the emoji section of your phone. Because Apple has just revealed the 10 most popular emojis among English-speaking Apple users in the United States. All right, so save your guess, Kevin. We're not up yet. So there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of emojis, and I thought, you know what, it's so tough to remember emojis and to describe emojis, I thought it might make it a little bit easier for you guys, the three of you that are playing, to be able to have your phone in front of you, and that way you can more easily describe which emoji, because some of them are very similar. Hang on, Kevin, we're not quite there
yet.
So again, recapping, the 10 most popular emojis among English-speaking Apple users in the United States.
Poop!
I was surprised by some of the ones that are on the list, and I was also surprised by some of the ones that I expected to see in the top 10. But let's see how you guys do. Beer Mug, you're going to be filling in for Ralph Garman today since he's on vacation. Kevin, historically, you get to go first. Let's see if we can imagine what your guess is going to be.
I can't think of one. Nothing's coming to mind.
Poop!
No, I'm sorry, Kevin. Poop is not in the top 10.
I'm out.
Are you outraged as well as being out?
Stupid list.
I was trying to think. First of all, it's not a stupid list. It's an accurate list coming from Apple of the 10 that their users use the most. I don't think.
Look at the list again.
I don't think that I have ever used the poop emoji.
What? Not shocking.
I don't think I ever have.
I don't think I've ever used any except for that one.
Do you remember when Apple tried to say it wasn't poop and it was like chocolate soft serve yogurt?
No, sir.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. They tried to say it was. Everyone's like, come on, it's poop.
Allie, have you used the poop emoji?
Of course.
Muggs, have you used the
absolutely.
Poop emoji? Absolutely. Okay. I guess I'm the outlier here, but no, I'm sorry. It is not in the top 10.
That is craziness.
All right, Muggs, I think you're up next.
I'm going to go with the orange angry face emoji.
No, that's a good guess. I used that one this weekend on some of my daylight saving time posts, by the way. But that is not in the top 10 either. Miss Ellen McKay.
I'm going to go with the crying laughing emoji. So it's only, squirting out the sides.
Only number one.
Wow.
Thank you.
The most common emoji. That one even has a name, by the way. Maybe they all do, but this one is mentioned in the article. That is called Face with Tears of Joy.
Okay.
I'm glad they named it because we couldn't have told that otherwise.
Face with Tears of Joy. In 2015, the Oxford English Dictionary gave that emoji the dubious honor of being the first emoji to hold the position of Word of the Year. So it is an immensely popular emoji. You are on the board with 1 point. Kevin, you're up next.
Poop!
And again, poop is not on the list.
Eggplant.
I see all kinds of things Kevin is using emojis for, but no, I'm sorry. Not a bad guess, but it did not make the top 10. Maybe it was just outside at number 11. Beer mug.
I gotta go. The good old thumbs up.
No.
Oh, come on.
Now, that one was a surprise to me. I use that one all the time. But not in the top 10. Miss Allie McKay.
The heart emoji.
Number two, ladies and gentlemen.
Thanks, guys.
Only number one and number two for Allie McKay.
Deal.
Yes, the heart is correct.
I'm a 12-year-old girl.
Kevin?
I'm going to say the heart emoji.
I just said that.
Already
Kevin.
Covered that.
I'm going to say fire.
Fire?
Don't you even tell me it's not on that list or I will burn this place down.
I'd be surprised if it were in the top 100. So no, it's not in the top 10 at all.
Everyone uses fire, right?
I'm trying to imagine a time I've ever seen it.
Oh.
Kevin has never been more invested
well,
in a topic than he is this
because
one.
I'm dead right.
All right, Ralph. Ralph Garman, no. Beer mug, you're in for Ralph.
I'm going to stick with the hand category and go the middle finger.
Oh.
Come on, what?
Miss Allie McKay.
What about the emoji of the face with the heart as eyes?
That is number four on the
How
list.
How is she getting all these?
They're all in my top frequently used.
Are these the top emojis Allie uses or the English speakers?
I should take a look at the list again. Allie, well done. Allie has number one, two, and four. Kevin, you are not quite on the board yet.
Right, because the list is stupid.
Stupid list.
My turn?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I'm telling you, this one better be on there.
All right.
Thumbs up.
Mirabug already said
I already guessed that. Are you listening to the same show?
I'm not listening at all.
Yeah, when you said heart, Allie had already said that. When you said thumbs up, Muggs has already said that. So we actually needed a different one.
Is poop on there?
Some guy already said poop. I'm gonna give you one more shot. This is your third guess this turn.
That's good.
The angry face.
I said that too.
Yes,
is he
did.
Serious?
He did
I
say
can't
that.
Tell.
All right, Kevin, we're going to skip you this time.
All right.
Lips kissing. The kissing
after
lips.
Three fails.
Lips I don't, kissing.
No lips kissing.
Eggplant.
All right, Muggs, let's do you one more time, and then Allie one more time, and then I'll
read it. All right, let's go with the slice of pizza emoji.
No, I'm sorry. That one's just you. It was created only for you, you're the only one that uses it. Allie, you've already won the game, but let's put some frosting on top. What do you got?
What about the little one where they're going and the little hearts coming out of their mouth?
That's number five.
Unbelievable. Everyone.
I'm a child.
She's gotten. This is insane.
I'm a child.
Oh, wait. I have one.
Game, game's over, Kevin.
I have one.
All right, go ahead.
The clapping hand.
No. That, by the way, I use that one as much as anything, but that is also not in the top 10. All right. Now I have to try to describe what it also is on the list. All right. So the face with tears of joy is number one. The heart is number two. Number three is
poop.
It's a crying face that has two like waterfall.
That's crying, like sobbing.
Sobbing is not.
That's number in my four, frequently used too.
That was probably the next one you were going to guess if we went around. Number four is with the hearts in the eyes. Number five is the one with the little kissy face with the heart coming out. Mm-hmm. Number six is the one where the eyeballs are looking straight up. It's got a straight mouth. It's kind of like a
annoyed,
like rolling your eyes.
No, it's really more. A little bit rolling your eyes, a little bit confused. Here's the one that surprised me the most: the skull.
Oh,
the skull
is number seven. Have you ever seen that?
Well, anyone when somebody says something, you're like dead.
Yeah,
right?
Maybe.
Right, 12-year-old girls, who's with me?
Number eight is another smiley face with pink rosy cheeks. Number nine is another crying face that has the eyebrows above the eyes and the downturn mouth.
There's variations on like three of them.
And then number 10 is the one that I probably use more than anyone, which is that one. It's got the little hand under the mouth.
I have that one as my frequently used too.
So there you go, guys. Those are the top 10 emojis. Kevin, I'm sorry you didn't win this game this time.
But I should have.
As always, you're an outstanding competitor. This has been Bean Makes His Guess.
Bean Makes His Guess, yeah.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:53.
If we had sort of a timer that could count down to the end of the song,
right?
We'd know when it was ending.
It's very helpful.
Tell you that, hey.
Chip sang 30, 20, 10.
I mean,
the song's over.
I don't listen to Chip.
Obviously.
For the most
part. Hey, 6:53, I think, but who can be sure anymore the way they just keep changing the time around willy-nilly? I think it's 6:53. Allie's in for Ralph with the Showbiz Beat here on a Monday morning. What's going on?
Hey, we're going to have some tickets coming up in the 8 o'clock hour for Morrissey shows this weekend at the Hollywood Bowl with special guest Billy Idol. But if you love meat and you think you're going to order some meat when you go there, you're not. For the first time, all menus at the Bowl's various food vendors will go completely vegetarian, though not full vegan, because some dishes will still contain cheese and other animal products.
I wonder why they're doing that.
Can I interest you in a falafel burger, potato tacos, veggie sandwiches, or avocado toast?
You could interest me in eating before I went.
Well, that's what they're saying to people. Okay. If you're needing like a deli sandwich, maybe eat before you show up.
Now, will this affect night two of K-Rock Almost Christmas as well? Has Morrissey made that request for us?
Not that I know of.
Not sure.
Okay.
I wonder, since it's not his show, it's a bunch of people's show.
Right.
Would he do that?
Don't know.
I don't know either. But there you have it. Do you think Billy Idol has meat in his dressing room?
Oh, he's got all meat.
All meat?
Yeah.
All right. P. Diddy, Puff Daddy, Sean Combs. He posted a video on Saturday revealing that he has changed his name yet again.
Again?
Yet again. But I don't know. I think this one might stick. That's when I pointed.
I decided to change my name again. I'm just not who I am before. I'm something different. So my new name is Love. A.K.A. Brother Love. I will not be answering to Puffy, Diddy, Puff Daddy, or any of my other monikers, but Love or Brother Love, okay? It's my birthday. I feel good. God is the greatest. I give all glory, and I thank my mama and daddy. Mwah!
He's changing his name to not one, but two different names?
I think he'll accept either.
Okay. Yeah, I think it's just Brother Love. Or do you think Love as well?
Yeah, that's what he said.
I feel
love
like
or Brother Love.
I think he needs to stick with Love, because isn't Brother Love, isn't he the original manager of The Undertaker?
There is a wrestler who I think it goes by a name like that, yeah.
So I feel like maybe you step off. P. Diddy, Brother Love, Puff Daddy.
What's going on in the mind of a man who decides he needs to change his name publicly like that?
I don't know, and multiple times.
Yeah. It's bizarre.
I don't know. What is it you're not getting out of being called Diddy, which is what you've asked us to call you? Now you have to change it to something else. I really don't understand it.
Huh.
I don't know. I get Diddy, you know, because P. Diddy, that was too much. That P.
This took too long?
Took a lot of time out of your day.
Sure.
Puff Daddy, I mean, come on.
It's ridiculous.
Who wants to be Puff Daddy past the age of 40? But I feel like this one's going to stick. Not at all. Not sure if you heard about this over the weekend, but more fallout with Kevin Spacey. First of all, over the weekend, found out several House of Cards employees spoke out saying they had experiences with him as well. And the actor Richard Dreyfuss, his son, claimed that back in 2008, Kevin Spacey groped him while his father was in the room.
What?
Yeah, apparently his dad was appearing in the play Complicit, which is interesting, at the Old Vic Theater in London, and they were over at Kevin Spacey's house, and they were running lines. And so his dad, Richard, had his head in the script, and Kevin put his hand on Harry Dreyfuss's leg and then kept moving it up and then essentially grabbed his junk while his dad was in the room. And Harry Dreyfuss said, "It happened one night when the three of us were alone in Kevin's apartment rehearsing my father's lines. My father didn't see it, and I didn't tell him about the incident for many years. Instead, I spent the next 9 years telling people the story at parties for laughs. Kevin Spacey is a sexual predator, but I still never thought talking about it seriously was ever an option." So he did, I think, what most guys would do and make it kind of like, haha, isn't that funny that he did this? But then started thinking over time, no, it isn't funny at all. This is warped. This is jacked up behavior.
Wow, that's crazy.
Ugh, Kevin Spacey.
Right?
Yikes, is all I have to say. You guys, Patton Oswalt got married on Saturday. He married Meredith Salinger at Jim Henson Studios in Los Angeles. They came out in June at the premiere of Baby Driver as a couple, and then they announced their engagement the following month. And I'm going to tell you, I looked at their pictures on Instagram. Some of the most beautiful pictures I've ever seen. They look so happy. His daughter Alice was the flower girl, just so adorable. But one picture in particular made me go, wait, what, huh? Meredith Salinger on her Instagram said, "It's a testament to Patton that he allowed the first boy I ever kissed to be at our wedding. Granted, that boy has remained a dear friend of mine since seventh grade. You've been there through all my milestones. Premiere of Natty Gann when we were 15, my sweet 16, the 30th anniversary of Natty, and now my wedding. I adore you." With pictures of Los Angeles Mayor Eric Garcetti.
Is that right?
Isn't that bizarre?
That's weird.
Right?
Yeah.
Her first smooch in seventh grade.
Huh.
Our mayor, Eric Garcetti.
Hmm.
Bean? Weird, right?
Yeah. Surprising. Surprising that that person would grow up to be such a famous person. Yeah. But I'm so happy for Pat.
I am too.
Yeah. They look extremely happy together. The pictures are absolutely beautiful. So congratulations.
I'm sure there was a time, you know, after his wife's, you know, sudden death that he thought he would never be happy again. I'm sure he went through a very, very, very bad phase. And it's just so great to see how happy he looks in these photos. And I'm so happy they found each other.
And if you haven't watched his Netflix special, Annihilation.
Yeah, stand-up is great.
Yeah, goes through all of the stages of grief and what he's gone through. So really happy for him and Meredith Salinger, who... If you grew up in the 80s, you wanted to be Meredith Salinger growing up. Lisa.
What
did.
Was she famous for?
Journey of Natty Gann, The License to Drive, was it Jimmy Reardon movie?
I think you're just saying words now.
It was a movie with River Phoenix. No, this isn't okay. Ringing a bell. Anyway, I wanted to be her. That's all I'm saying. Let's talk about some birthdays today. Rebecca Romijn is 45, Thandie Newton, 45, Taryn Manning, 39, and Emma Stone is 29. I'm Allie McKay, and for Ralph Garman, walking the showbiz beat.
Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network, about an hour from now on the world-famous K-Rock. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:07.
Don't bring him on. Football is dead to me, by the way. I'm over it.
I agree.
I'm at that point in the season. I'm over it.
I saw last night. I can't remember what you're talking about, but
I sure can.
It was a pretty good game last night.
Hey, they say that behind every great man is a woman who really is getting all the work done, and that is certainly the case with our next guest. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Mrs. Kevin. Melissa joins us from friendsandhelpers.org. Hey, Melissa.
How are you?
It's your one of two visits every year you come in. You do
yes.
the backpack thing, and then you do the Christmas thing, and now we're into the Friends and Helpers holiday program. How about a little background for folks who are perhaps new to the show or have kind of missed what you and the Lammy have been doing for all these years?
I don't know that I need to be called that.
I think that you should be
okay.
called that. Friends and Helpers is a foundation that Kevin and I started 25 years ago, if you can believe that. And what we do is we work with abused women and children. We help everyone in need that are in shelter. When people first get to a shelter, they have nothing, zero. And they really can't bring anything in, and they've probably run because they were scared and they were being hurt. So we decided that we wanted to do something to help that didn't have red tape and that we could just give. And over the years, we've learned more and more about it. And we've expanded the work that we do to more and more things. It's kind of gotten kind of crazy, actually. I think Kevin and I have a little problem with saying no. But it's been worth it. And the stuff and the people and the stories that we've heard from just have changed our lives so much. And we're so grateful we get to do this work and to help so many.
Well, I'm sure it's unbelievably rewarding. And we hear the same thing from our listeners who show up at your events, who just say, man, it's one of my favorite things to do all year, because you can actually see the people that you're helping in many cases.
Absolutely, because 100% of what we do goes to the cause. The Lamb and I cover the hard costs.
Seriously,
so
I don't
know. I think it's fine. So everything goes to the cause. And we have been doing this for so long, and we think we're pretty good at it. We can always get better, and we're always open to suggestions. So this year, it's once again Adopt a Family. I know it's been a hard year. I want to address this. There's been a lot going on all over the world, and people have felt a little displaced. But this is just in your own community that you can give and you can help. And there's so many ways that you can help us. Lammy, you want to talk about that?
Well, I mean, we're doing Adopt a Stocking again. That's $25 on the website. Or Adopt a Women's Bag, also
$25. Never mind, I'll do it. You seem a little confused.
Probably
we are once again doing our Adopt a Family program.
Oh, I like it better in English. Thank you, Melissa.
Oh, you're so welcome, Dean. And what we do is you can email us and we'll match you up with a family. Or let's say you say, you know what, I'm real busy this year. I can't really deal with adopting a family. What else can I do? Well, you can go right to our website, Adopt a Stocking, a Women's Bags, which is filled with essentials that have toothpaste, toothbrushes, socks, and all those boxes are currently at our house because we ordered them already. So please give.
I got to tell you, one of the things that struck us early is that when we would ask these moms what they wanted for Christmas, they would say a toothbrush. And I was just thinking, how many of us would be pissed if we opened a toothbrush at Christmas? But that's what they need and what they
Absolutely.
Want.
Absolutely. And for their children to have a Christmas, you know, it's not the children's fault. And they're so caught in the middle. And we're talking, we have ages 0 to 18 here. So it's wide. There's so many ways you can help. You're walking into the market to get something. Pick up a gift card. It's so easy. And we will be out and about the weekend of December 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. Check out our website. And something this year that we're doing that we think is so important, we are constantly all year working. People need food. Kids need snacks for school. People need everything. They need a sweatshirt. It's turning colder. This year, we're partnering with the Kings, and we're going to be doing a food drive on November 12th, 14th, 16th, 18th, and 22nd. I might have just lied about November 12th. But okay. It'll be on all their media and all of ours. And we're going to be doing food drives where you come to the entrances where, yes, the Lamb will be working, Dave and Christine, Bean. We don't know about Ellie yet. We're going to ask her. Everybody's going to be there, including, by the way, Kevin's mom on November 22nd.
We're not making my mom. Come on.
It's an effort. It's a city effort, people.
I'm not forcing my mom into slave labor.
Your mother's in to make up for all your bad deeds.
So wait, so you're talking about multiple events with LA Kings games. If you're going to the game, you bring something and can hand it over to you and your people. That's it. That's
you
great.
And here's the best part. Not only should you bring things, and bring good things, you guys. Don't bring that ketchup you've had for 4 years that you're not is kind of sketchy. Dig in for some peanut butter, some tuna. Every time you bring an item, you get a raffle ticket to win tickets to the Kings game and to Acoustic Christmas. Come on.
Wow.
We're helping you be good people.
And that's each game?
That's
right?
For those
we
four
do a
games.
Separate drawing each game.
Each game, separate drawing, and we'll announce the winner during the game. So it's pretty exciting. I personally need Acoustic Christmas tickets, so I will be bringing food. I think it's important.
This year, you made reference, Melissa, to there's a lot of things going on in the world. Have you gotten any indication that there is charity fatigue at this point?
Absolutely.
Because there are so many people who need so many things in so many different areas.
And so many people who've already given recently, and they have a limited budget. It makes it difficult.
Yeah, we absolutely understand that, and we feel like people should give to what they're passionate about. Because that's important. That's how you feel comforted in this in these very difficult times. However, with that said, we need you. Our shelters are full already. Our after-school police programs have never had more kids showing up. It can be the easiest thing. You're at Target. You got a kid with you. Mom, I want to have this. You know what? Let's buy one for somebody in need. You don't have to take a whole family. You can go online. Just give us money. We ask that you give at least $5 because it costs us that much to process it. But we are grateful for anything. You know, send us a gift card. Maybe you work somewhere that's having a little Christmas party. Make us the recipient of that instead.
And it's so important that Friends and Helpers is one of the only charities that I even know that gives 100% back. You're not taking anything for cost for you guys, anything.
I've
it
tried
all
to
goes
talk
directly
her into
in.
It for a long time.
Have you?
I said, look, let's skim some off the top.
Oh.
And she always says no.
You know, you have to start somewhere when you live with Kevin. Here's the thing. You know, you guys have been so great about those T-shirts. Love that. So amazing. And all the K-Rock listeners always just touch my heart in such a big way. You guys are so amazing. And I see the force that you can be. And no, you know, people tend to think, oh, it's November. We don't have to worry about Christmas. But we do. And, you know, we're out delivering. We've got our guys over at Galpin. Bo, he doesn't know we're taking the trucks. We take them. We're out there for days. You know, we just...
I heard Kevin breaks in at night and hotwires him. Is that true?
I can't even begin to talk about Kevin and Bo and what that relationship seems to be. All I know is that if Kevin's car breaks down, Bo shows up.
That's
I don't know what's going on with that.
Well, look, there's so much information on the website, and it's almost too much to keep track of here. But if you go to friendsandhelpers.org, you can find out all about the holiday program events. You can find out how to adopt a stocking or adopt a family. You can find out how to donate a gift card. You can find out how to volunteer. You can find out about the food drive that's going to be happening at all the Kings games. I mean, you have a very busy few weeks coming up, you guys.
Oh my gosh, don't we, Jess? But you know what? How lucky are we that we get to do this? And how lucky is everybody that they can help somebody? And it doesn't take a tremendous amount of effort. And then you can sit with your family around the holidays and just say, you know what? This is great. Somebody else is having dinner because of us, because
right.
we bought a gift card. There's so many ways to help. Email me. I do answer most of them. I answer the phone, much to Kevin's dismay, at 3 in the morning. But we're always working.
Who needs to call about charity at 3 in the morning?
You know what?
Can
if that's when
that
they need to call, we will answer, Kev. That's what we do.
I want a reality TV show at your house. I really do.
No,
I really want to see what it's like.
Can I just give you guys something really, really fast?
Yes,
my first
please do.
Donation every year is from a certain late-night talk show host that started at this radio station.
No kidding.
And I can tell you he's already on my phone. I am 100% sure. And it's always my very first donation with a note that says, love you. Always.
He's a sweet man.
So, you know what? Let's all be as good as Jimmy.
All right.
I don't know that that's possible, but
Friendsandhelpers.org, you guys. That's the thing. You got to bookmark it, visit early and often, and make a difference this holiday season. Friendsandhelpers.org for all the information. Whether you want to do it online or you want to do it in person at one of the holiday program events, or go to the Kings game and help there.
And meet maybe Kevin's mom.
Meet Kevin's mom. I was going to say the same thing. She's single
you?
And looking, right?
No.
She is single, actually.
No.
All right.
This is terrible.
Friendsandhelpers.org. Let's get Kevin a new stepdad. Let's do it, you guys. Kevin to be Lister Tim writes in, I don't know Melissa, but after hearing her, I see that Kevin married up, way up, off to help Friends and Helpers. Thank you, Tim. Appreciate that. Yeah, you hear a lot of that whenever your wife stops by the show, don't you, Kevin?
Yeah, well, it's true.
Same thing happens to me. When Donna's on the show, people are like, how did you land her? So we are the lesser halves of the relationship. There was a story in the news last week that I refer to as a quit this bitch story. You remember the lady, the DJ that walked out on her job, right?
Oh. So if you're confused about what I'm saying, listen very carefully. I quit this bitch.
To me, that was one of the all-time greats. I quit this bitch. And the story that was in the news is the rogue Twitter employee who on his last day of work figured out a way. And I don't know what his job was or what his access was, but I have heard it described as the God mode. In other words, there are some people at Twitter who can do anything. They have access to all the accounts.
Is
and
that
they can
right?
make whatever changes they want. Somehow this employee decided on his last day he was going to go out in a blaze of glory, and he shut down the president's Twitter account. And it was down for 11 minutes. And at first, what did they say, Ali? Do you remember at first, before they confessed that it was a rogue employee, do you remember what their original explanation was for why the president's account was shut off?
They just said human error.
Human error, right.
Mm-hmm. Which is weird because that means they clearly knew someone was behind it.
Yeah, uh-huh. But it could have just been a mistake is
right.
how they were going with it at first.
And then they found out that it was intentional. And I guess this guy, and I don't know what his intention was, but I guess he felt pretty good walking out of the building that day.
Are we sure it was a guy?
We don't know
we
that.
We don't know.
Then
we
stop saying guy and him. Let the hero be a woman, Bean.
It could be a woman. I don't look at it as heroic. To me, it's you are a terrible employee, and I don't think you do that to your employer, even if you're a short-timer. But that's what he or she chose to do, and that kind of got us on the topic of people who quit their jobs in a blaze of glory. And I suspect we have some listeners who have stories, don't you?
I would assume so, yeah. Yeah, it's your last day. For some reason, you either hate the place, you hate the work, or you hate a person there, maybe your boss. And you take it out pretty much on your last day as you're leaving, because what are they going to do to you?
What are they going to do? They can't fire you.
Right?
You're already leaving. Now, do you think any of the stories that we have heard are true about people pooping on the boss's desk? Or do you think that's just apocryphal and people just saying it because they want it to be true?
I guarantee someone has pooped on a boss's desk.
Agreed.
Really?
Yeah.
You think so?
Yeah, for sure.
Because we know Mike Catherwood. So
very true.
Right there. If that's going to happen, that will be him.
As long as Catherwoods of the world exists, somebody's going to be pooping on somebody's
desk. Correct, yes.
So we want to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. You quit in a spectacular fashion. You planned something because you knew you were out the door. We want to hear from you. If you can't call, do text us. Do you guys remember a couple of years ago, I had forgotten about that until this Twitter story got into the news, about a man named Stephen Slater. He was a JetBlue flight attendant.
Yes.
You remember him?
Yes.
I don't have the tape, but he got on the microphone and started screaming at the people on the plane, and then he grabbed a beer and opened up the evacuation slide to the tarmac, and then he exited the plane by sliding down the slide. That's how you go out from a flight attendant job, right?
I mean, as long as you're not putting anyone in danger, yes.
I mean, they were midair.
So the slide didn't reach necessarily?
Here's a 2011 Taco Bell employee who announced his departure from the company by posting his resignation on the marquee outside the restaurant where it says, "I quit, Adam, F you," although he didn't write F. And there is a little smiley face. So he quit his job by putting it up on the sign out in front of the restaurant.
That's awesome. Adam.
That's kind of what we're looking for,
call
right?
Now. 1-800-520-1067. I love you.
Kevin, I'm stunned that you haven't suggested that you have a story like this in your past. You've had a few jobs come and go, some of which you weren't a big fan of, right?
Yeah, I don't remember any other than there was a construction job that I had, and I ended up quitting and got in the car and just started doing donuts in the dirt parking lot, just like 20 in a row, just to cause as much dust as you can.
You're actually more of a just don't show up on the last day of work.
Pretty
that's kind
much.
Of your side of the protest,
I don't
protest,
really
right?
want to ruin stuff for people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the right attitude.
You as should. Contrary as that sounds to what you know about me.
I mean, just because your employment at the company is over, I think in general, let the company do what the company does.
Right. Agreed.
If it's not a good fit, just move on. How about you, Allie? Do you ever go out in a blaze of glory?
No. I wish.
Are you looking forward to it? A
little bit.
This job, though, right?
I'll let you know in a month.
All right. So what'd you do on your last day of work? 1-800-520-1067. Call now. We'll take your calls.
All right. Just ahead of the revivalists, let's take one call. Let's make it Chris from Highland Park. Hi, Chris.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. Thanks. You went out in a blaze of glory is what we're talking about.
Oh, check this out, man. Black Friday, 15 years ago, I used to be an assistant manager at the Montebello Champs. And, you know, store was crazy. I set everything up. Store manager came in, started yelling at me. And I was like, all right, I planned something. Store opened up, grabbed my walkie-talkie, threw it at him, walked out and said, I quit this B-word. I don't want to say it on
right.
the radio.
And yeah, you can't say bitch. Don't say bitch, please.
Oh, I won't say bitch, damn it.
Okay, good.
All right, so I walked out. Huge line because the Jordan 11s were releasing. He was stuck all by himself.
Thanks for making our Thanksgiving shopping so much fun, dude. Let's play the tape of future Kevin when he walks out on this job eventually.
You. You're cool. You, I'm out.
Now, who am I pointing to when I say you're cool?
Me.
Probably Chip. We're talking about your I quit this bitch moment. You left your job in a blaze of glory. Zach writes in from the 310. I left Target in a less than classy way. I had a breakdown, ripped off my red shirt of oppression, and chucked it at the cash manager's office in front of lots of customers, and I stormed out. Believe me, it was worse than it sounds, says Zach. Mm. Well, I'm glad you put that behind you. So we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. What'd you do on your last day at the job? Who's up first?
Let's start with Teresa in Orange. Hi, Teresa.
Hi.
What did you do on your last day when you quit?
So I didn't quit in 2 weeks. I went to the back, and I hit the intercom button, and I said, F this person, F that person, but I quit this bitch.
A lot of I quit this bitch on the phone this morning.
And you did it over the
people. Everyone in the office heard, in the warehouse, in the management heard, and the production manager comes out of his office and gives me this look and just shakes his head like, so I take it you quit. But I already had a new job lined up, so it really didn't matter.
Okay.
It's a good follow-up question by him, though. So, it yes, seems it like is. Maybe perhaps you've quit.
And by the way, astute. Thank you for the call, Teresa. We appreciate it. Teresa makes a good point. She already had another job lined up, so she didn't have to use this company as a reference. And I think that's probably what stops a lot of people from saying goodbye the way they want to say goodbye, is you still want to be able to put it on your resume, right?
Sure.
Yeah. All right. Who's next?
Let's go to Jason and Van Nuys. Hi, Jason.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
We're talking about you left in a blaze of glory.
Yeah, I actually did the exact clip that you guys just played from the South Park, from the Half-Baked movie.
You're cool, and you, I'm out.
You said
yeah,
that?
Except I didn't, when I pointed to the manager, I was like, you're not even cool, you suck too, and I left. And some dude that was a customer was like some stoner dude. I was in high school when that movie was really popular, and some stoner dude was a customer. He's like, hey, since you quit, bro, and you just quoted my favorite movie, you want to come smoke a bowl? And I ended up getting high and blown off the job.
It's the best story ever.
Yeah, I didn't expect that very many happy endings out of this,
right?
But thank you for the call, sir. Appreciate that.
All right. Let's go to Rosemary. No, I'm sorry. That line's not on hold. Let's go to Dylan in Sherman Oaks. Hi, Dylan.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good. Thank you.
What'd you do?
So I worked at a private golf course where members had a lot of money and thought they could kind of say whatever they wanted to.
Right.
I was a beverage cart girl, so I drove around and gave them their drinks. So my last day, I gave them their drinks and told them to F off and pretty much told them how I felt about them.
Nice.
And was it worth it? I mean, I'm sure you gave that some thought, and it took some guts to do it. But how did you feel afterwards? Vindicated?
I felt
happy?
So good.
Okay.
How good it is to tell creepy old men to F off and then smile and drive away.
All right.
All right. Thank you
for
the call.
That's good information for people who maybe are planning their own exit at an upcoming job. She says it felt good.
All right. Do we want to take Robert? Let's take Robert in Lakewood. Hi, Robert.
Hello.
Hello?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah. When I was 16, I worked at a movie theater. I decided I wanted to quit, so I walked in the office, and I hawked a loogie in my boss's face.
Oh dear. Well, now we're getting into assault. And
who's hungry?
I say uncool. I say uncool on loogie in the face. What do you guys think?
If there's not a band named Loogie in the Face,
there has to be.
I'm very disappointed. Thank you for the call. Yeah, I'm not. I don't know that I'm down with that. Let's go to Daniel, who's calling us from Winnetka. Hi, Daniel.
Good morning, guys. This is Santa Monica.
Love him so much. Let's go to Tiffany in Los Angeles. Hi there.
Hi. Good morning.
What happened?
It wasn't actually me. It was my employee. I worked at Universal Studios in management.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my employees who worked at Back to the Future heard he was getting fired. So he decided, dressed in his Back to the Future Doc Brown outfit, to stand in front of the ride, smoking a cigarette, drinking a beer, and posing with all the guests in the park.
Oh, my God. Oh, no.
Well, it was a fun day for the visitors to the park, right?
So it was. They thought we were... Yeah, so if he wasn't getting fired before that, he definitely was getting fired after
I guess so. All right, thank you for the call. We appreciate it. Got to talk to Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network next on the Kevin and Bean Show. Bean, I forget, how did the Seattle game go?
I assume we won. I just turned it off after we scored with 90 seconds left. I figured we had that one in the bag, so there wasn't any reason to watch the end of the game.
I see.
So,
okay.
I'm sure they won.
All right.
Hey, speaking of sports, Kevin, before we get into a showbiz here, you tweeted out a very cool story from a listener who went to a Kings game.
Yes.
About a sing-along.
Oh, yeah.
Because we were just playing Blink 182, so it made me think of... Share that story.
That was pretty cool. They played All the Small Things,
mm-hmm.
and they do it during timeout, so they come out and they get the ice ready, and the commercials are on TV, and they play the song, and then the song stops, and play resumes, and the crowd picks up the song. They'd been singing along with it the whole time, and during play, they sing that song. They continue singing it for about 45 to 50 seconds.
Oh, that's awesome.
It was really cool. I was so surprised because it was a huge amount of the audience. It wasn't just a small little group of people.
Yeah.
And this guy was like, I've just decided I'm now a Kings fan.
So, yeah, it's pretty cool.
That sounds fun. All right. As you mentioned, Andrew next. Allie now in for Rob with the Showbiz Beat on a Monday. What's going on?
You guys, Thor Ragnarok did pretty good over this weekend in the box office. Did you guys get to see it?
I saw it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it should be considered a comedy.
Yeah, I've heard it's very,
it's
very funny.
It's really funny.
Uh-huh.
And Chris Hemsworth is really funny.
He's really good at a lot of stuff.
It's crazy, but his timing and everything was really great.
He's sure good at looking like Chris Hemsworth,
sure
I'll tell
is.
You that.
Yeah, he's nailing that. you guys, it brought in $121 million. That's a good opening weekend,
and
you guys.
And deserved it. It was great.
Yeah, really good. Coming in second was A Bad Mom's Christmas, brought in $17 million, followed by Jigsaw, Tyler Perry's Boo 2, A Madea Halloween. Seriously, came in fourth.
That's crazy.
It's not Halloween anymore. Followed by a Geostorm, rounding out your top five. Not sure if you guys heard about this, but it was only the fourth night of Morrissey's tour, but his show last night in Paso Robles, California, was canceled at the last minute.
That's not like Morrissey at all.
What?
It was deemed too cold for the singer to perform. Yes. Apparently, they came on over the PA stating that the show would be postponed due to the venue's onstage heating system not working. And yet, it could be chilly up there.
Sure.
But people in the audience are probably pretty chilly, too.
They don't have heaters at all.
They
certainly
don't.
In the open.
My favorite tweet was from a woman named Jen Blatz. Morrissey canceled at the last minute. F that drama queen. Never again. Rotten hell. And it's just a picture of her flipping off the camera. Another guy posted the set list. Jub Supreme posted the set list. Just one song. We got F'd by Morrissey. I mean, just so sad.
He is a delicate flower.
I mean.
But he's going to be there on night two.
Night two, he's headlining.
He's gonna be there.
Acoustic Christmas.
I mean, it's indoors, and there shouldn't be any temperature problems.
Right?
Should not be.
That's all gonna go well.
There have been so many shows canceled by Morrissey over the years that I feel like when you put down your money, you know there's a 50-50 chance that concert will not happen.
Except for
Acoustic Christmas. Yeah. It's guaranteed. Absolutely gonna happen. Kevin swears it.
Right.
Alec Baldwin melting down on Twitter again. You might remember about 4 years ago, he unleashed a homophobic rant on a writer of the Daily Mail. He called him a toxic little queen. Then he was like, I'm not going to be on Twitter anymore. Then, of course, he was. About a week ago, a journalist, Kayla Cobb, who wrote for The Decider, wrote an article on a documentary that he is in with both James Toback, the indie filmmaker, who, of course, has been outed by, I think we're up to over 40 women, more.
I think it's over 200.
Oh, just kidding.
Wow.
Over 200. He's in a documentary with not only him, but another guy named Roman Polanski. 2013 documentary. So she writes an article about it, to which he responded, quote, why don't you let prosecutors and real journalists investigate such cases and stick to divorces and plastic surgery? All right, you're a dick. But here's where it gets real interesting. Over the weekend, he sat down for an interview with PBS NewsHour discussing the mounting sexual assault allegations against Harvey Weinstein and his good buddy James Toback. And he wound up saying, you heard the rumor that Weinstein raped Rose McGowan. You heard that over and over, nothing was done. We've heard that for decades and nothing was done. To which the interviewer said, well, nobody said anything. And he responded, Alec Baldwin, with, well, but what happened was Rose McGowan took a payment of $100,000 and settled her case with him. It was for Rose McGowan to prosecute that case. So
what?
A little bit of victim blaming for her taking the settlement when nobody would listen to this woman. So Rose McGowan tweeted out a link to the video and said, told you everyone knew. No one cared. Men ran the show. Women towed the line. No more. And then Asia Argento, who has also accused him, Harvey Weinstein, of raping her, tweeted a link to the video with her own more pointed message. Hey, Alec Baldwin, you're either a complete moron or providing cover for your pals and saving your rep. Maybe all three. Now, by the way, this woman has been harassed incessantly on Twitter, a lot by people in Italy who are saying, get out of our country. It's just a bad situation all around. So instead of Alec Baldwin saying, you know what? Sorry about that. Inappropriate, wrong. Nope, he tweeted, Asia Argento, If you paint every man with the same brush, you're going to run out of paint or men. And then blocked her on Twitter. Her boyfriend, CNN host and chef Anthony Bourdain, replied to the tweet saying, "You're really too dumb to pour pee out of a boot." And Baldwin said, "You should stick to eating worms and keep your mouth shut." And then blocked Anthony Bourdain.
Alec Baldwin has a lot of time every weekend.
A lot of time, sure, but now he's saying that he's going to not tweet from his personal account. He's just going to tweet from the foundation account that he has. Because, you know, he's just going to take some time and really think about this. He didn't mean to victim blame. He was wrong, blah, blah, blah. Mm. By the way, those tweets to Asia Argento and to Anthony Bourdain from his foundation account. So he's not really getting it. And maybe somebody in his life should say, "Hey, Alec, whatever your name is, you're horrible. Stop it. Get off the internet. You're a piece of crap. Thank you."
That would be nice if someone did that.
It would be nice if someone did that. Your Alec Baldwin is a douchebag update. All of these stars were born today, November the 2nd. Sally Field is 71. Ethan Hawke, 47. Rebecca Romijn is 45. Thandi Newton is 45. Taryn Manning, 39. And actress Emma Stone is 29. I'm Allie McKay, and for Ralph Garman, walking the showbiz beat.
We are going to give away tickets to see Morrissey at the Hollywood Bowl. Iconic singer, iconic venue, this Friday or Saturday night in about 5 minutes or so right here on the Kevin Bean Show. Maybe a couple minutes more because we want to spend some time with our boy, Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network and DirecTV's Red Zone channel. Joins us on the phone every Monday at this time. How are you, Andrew?
Good morning, guys.
I got to tell you, if you are a Saints fan, you're loving life right now. If you're a Rams fan, you're loving life. Especially if you're an Eagles fan, you're loving life. But the rest of us are not enjoying this NFL season anymore, Andrew.
Well, you see, you're the Seahawks fan, right, Kevin?
Oh, no, that's Bean.
Oh, yeah, the Cardinals fan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Dave's brokenhearted over his Falcons. Allie, you doing okay with your Pats?
They had a bye, so yep.
So you're all right.
So they won.
Mm-hmm.
And Tom Brady went on the radio this morning and said that he and Bill Belichick really do get along, and he doesn't fear that he's going to be traded, despite reports. I was raised a Browns fan, but hey, I'm also a Rams fan.
Okay, let's talk about these Rams. It was the was it the best game they played this year, and the Giants' worst game they've played this year together on one field?
It's hard to say it was the Giants' worst because they put a lot of bad games on tape. But I guess giving up 51 points at home in front of empty stands in the second half is probably rock bottom. If this isn't rock bottom for the Giants, where the coach has to stand up there and argue that the team did not quit giving up 51 points, then I don't know what is. But the Rams, look, just put it this way. The Rams haven't made the playoffs since 2004. If the playoffs were to start today, which, yes, I know they do not, the Rams would host Cam Newton and the Panthers at the Coliseum in a playoff game wild card weekend.
All right. Exciting. Is it the end of the road for Eli Manning?
I don't know if this week is the end of the road. I think clearly that the writing is on the wall, and I think it has been all year, by the way. So, I mean, they took Cal Davis Webb in the third or fourth round in this past April's draft, so they at least brought in a younger understudy. They really didn't know if he was the guy. But when the coach afterwards says, we have to try younger players and see what they can do, and the follow-up question is, does that include quarterback? He says, every position. Then you know that eventually Davis Webb will get on the field this year. But Eli's not going quietly. And this is going to be far more than just a coach's decision. This goes to the GM. This likely goes to the owner as well. And by the way, a lot of people think both the coach and the GM are now out at the end of the year.
Wow. Can Eli play for someone else?
I think so. I think Eli is absolutely the quarterback that can go somewhere else and finish his career if he chooses to as a successful quarterback.
Okay. We're on the phone with Andrew Siciliano, as we do on Mondays, talking about the NFL weekend that was. I hate to even bring up the awful Seahawks performance because they couldn't have been worse on almost any level. But I did want to ask you, because we were talking earlier today about there was one play that the Redskins ran where they ended up employing a couple of laterals while they were running down the field, and one of the many, many times they were running very far down the field. You don't see that very often, Andrew, and I was wondering – Why not? Why don't more teams do that?
Because it almost never works, and it's kind of like the crazy, we have no other options. We know we can't go 80 yards on a regular drawn up in the playbook kind of thing, so we're going to try every trick of the book. The crazy thing about that play is that was a failed two-point conversion, right? So the Seahawks are going for two. So if the Redskins ran it back, that wouldn't have been worth six. It would have been worth two.
Oh.
So all that effort.
And all those laterals.
For 2 points.
For 2 points. Huh. But look.
And they didn't get it.
It ended up being a three-point game, though. Every point mattered, you know?
Yeah. Every point does. And if not for Blair Walsh missing three field goals in the first half, then that, you know.
That's crazy to me. Well. He's got one job.
You don't see that very often, do you?
He's got one job.
He has one job.
Kick a field goal. Who misses three and a half?
Not kickers that have jobs for the next week. Sadly, did you guys see the Cam Newton thing?
Yeah.
Which one are you talking about? Are you talking about his Titanic talk or what?
Yep.
All right, explain that to our listeners.
All right, so the Panthers just made a big trade this week. They traded Kelvin Benjamin, like their number one wide receiver, to Buffalo, and Cam clearly wasn't happy about it. So they asked him after the game about his replacement, this kid named Devin Funches, and what he did. And he said, listen, this is what we got to do. These are our expectations. He's kind of rambling, as Cam often does. He says, nobody is even giving us an opportunity. Yeah, we just lost a great player, but nevertheless, you know, the Titanic still has to go.
Wait, yeah.
What?
So he meaning the Panthers are the Titanic? Is that what he's suggesting?
He said, nevertheless, you know, the Titanic still has to go.
So his example is that they're the Titanic and they're going to keep. I don't think he knows what happened to the Titanic.
I don't think he knows the ending. Oh, no.
Okay. Full disclosure. I have never seen the movie Titanic.
All right, but you know that you know history.
I know how it ends.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Maybe Cam was watching it the night before at home, and he had to pause it like 2 hours in.
Right.
So he's on his mind. He's just excited to get back to the end of it and see the successful cross ocean trip that the Titanic makes.
Can't wait to get back home tonight and hope that when I turn on Netflix, it still says resume playing.
Exactly.
Still there.
Yeah. All right. Last question, Andrew, and I hate to get it out of football, but it was such a big story this weekend that I must. Scully's comments that he will never watch another NFL game because of the anthem protest. Now, look, lots of people have said that. We've heard that from a lot of fans. But when somebody as beloved as Vin says it, and somebody in the sports world like Vin is, does that make an impact?
I think it does, in that he is, but like you just said, it's Vin. I mean, we all see Vin kind of as our conscience, as our grandfather. I was surprised, but at the same time, not surprised by Vin's comments. They're going to get a lot of play. They're certainly going to be picked up by conservative media left and right and used and waved. And we're probably, knowing Vin, used in a way that he doesn't necessarily want.
Sure.
That said, I respect the heck out of Vin Scully, and it is an individual choice what any of us consume, what any of us use our hard-earned entertainment dollars for and on. And I've said it a million times. I understand why people are upset. I understand why veterans or whomever may be upset when people don't stand for the flag. I personally would always stand for the national anthem.
Right.
I also understand the position that many of the players in the league are taking. It is an individual choice for every consumer, for every American, and Ben clearly has made his, and I respect it.
Well said. Andrew Siciliano is the host of the NFL Network's Up to the Minute, and of course, every Sunday, we love him on DirecTV's Red Zone channel. Always a pleasure, sir. Thanks for coming on the Kevin DeBean Show today.
As always, guys.
Thank you. Bye now.
All right, Morrissey time. You guys ready?
We are ready.
It's a very painful way to win tickets. You really are going to have to suffer for your art. But if you love the Moz like we do and you want to see him at the Hollywood Bowl, you can call right now, 1-800-520-1067. We'll give you a chance to play a game and win those tickets next on K-Rock. Well, the good news is we got plenty of tickets for Morrissey at the Hollywood Bowl this Friday or Saturday night from K-Rock. That's the good news. The bad news is to win him, you've got to get through this man, DJ Omar Khan. It's time for Omaroki.
Maroki.
Heidi as a singer, Omar's really lame. So we wish you luck, because he sucks. If you guess, you win the game.
Oh, it's good that you know all these Morrissey and Smith's songs, because in the event that he cancels, you can step in and, right? and perform the concert for
Absolutely.
Him, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm going to rock these songs so hard.
Oh, no. Omar strikes me as a guy who grew up spending a lot of weekends listening to Smith's albums.
You know, I was more of a Cure DeMode guy and Nine Inch Nails. But, yeah, I did listen to some Smith songs, yeah, for sure.
Did you have the sleeves and stuff?
I did all that.
All of it?
Yeah, black nail polish,
yes.
Eyeliner.
Did it all.
Need
photos.
Yeah. Oh,
we have,
I hook you up.
Morrissey fans on the line right now. Omar, you're going to be singing songs for Morrissey and or the Smiths, and all the listener has to do is identify it by title, and they don't go into a drawing. They actually win tickets for this weekend at the Hollywood Bowl, so it sounds like a pretty good deal. Mm-hmm. Who's up first?
Art in La Puente. Hi.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Doing Omaroki. Good luck. Tell us what the name of the song is.
I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
That's plenty. Thank you, Omar. Art, what's the song, please? This is the easiest one.
Oh, son of a bitch.
If that helps you. It's his most famous and popular song.
Oh, my God.
Why are you on the phone, Art?
We're trying to give it to you.
This turn around?
No. What? Get off Kevin's phone.
Yeah, get off my phone.
That would be Suedehead.
Biggest Morrissey hit, right?
Yes.
Yes.
And you nailed it.
Thank you.
Art doesn't deserve to go to Morrissey. I'm sorry. I hate to be cruel, but if you don't get that one, get off my phone.
Let's go to Umberto from Oxnard. Hi there.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What about Art? What about that effing guy, right?
That was horrible.
That was horrible.
Song ever.
Yep. All right, Umberto. Good luck. Here's Omar.
Sweetness, sweetness, I was only joking when I said I'd like to smash every tooth in your head.
All right, got it.
Yes.
Big Mouth strikes again.
Boom! Yes, nicely done.
Sweetness, I was only joking.
You had it up until,
yeah, when I said, and then it just kind of trailed.
Let's go to Juan and Cerritos. Hi, Juan.
Hi, guys.
Are you ready for Omaroki?
I'm ready.
Good luck.
Can you squeeze me into an empty page of your diary and psychologically save me? I've got faith in you.
That wasn't terrible. It wasn't terrible at all.
Wow. Sweet.
Juan? What song you got there, Juan?
That is Hairdresser on Fire.
Yes, it
Boom.
Is.
Can you squeeze me into
an empty page of your... You won tickets. Congratulations.
All right, two out of three so far, not too bad. Who's next?
All right, let's go to Mario and Downey. Hi there.
How you doing, guys?
Good. Good luck. Here's Omar.
Because if it's not love, then it's the bomb, the bomb, the bomb, the bomb, the bomb, the bomb, the bomb that will bring us together.
Oh, my God.
Right?
I had all the first three ones.
And that helps you now how?
How many Morrissey songs do you know with the lyrics, the bomb, the bomb, the bomb, the bomb?
I can't think of the name
of it. Oh, I'm sorry. That was Ask. The bomb, the bomb,
the bomb, the bomb. Okay, all right. We're still okay. Who's next?
Nailed it.
I like how Omar waits for us to start playing the version and sings along.
It's
like,
delightful.
Like it's the same thing. James in Westminster. Hi there.
Lammy, Bean, Omar.
Giving away Morrissey tickets for the Hollywood Bowl this weekend with Omaroki. Listen up. Identify this song by title, please.
And if a double-decker bus crashes into us, to die by your side is such a heavenly way to die.
The Smiths, There Is a Light That Never Goes Out.
Yes. There it is. A heavenly way to die. Nicely done. You got tickets. Congratulations.
I'm getting all the feels just from hearing like 2 seconds of that song.
Thank you, Bean. Man,
no, yeah, no, not from you. Not your
pouring
not
out
your
my
version.
Heart here on the air.
No,
for
no,
you.
No. Dear.
I'm really, really you. Happy that you feel that way, Bean.
All right, three down, two more pairs of tickets. Who's next?
Robert and Covina. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Good. Thanks. There's Omar.
This is a coastal town that they forgot to close down. Armageddon, come Armageddon, come Armageddon, come.
is every day like Sunday.
Close enough.
Boom!
We heard
your version.
One more pair.
I'm giving myself the feels.
Let's go to...
in my pants.
Oh, dear. Let's go to Chris in Highland Park. Hi, Chris.
How's it going, guys?
Good.
Okay. All right, here we go.
I'm not sure why, but Omar just started laughing. When
all
he looked...
I know is I'm only looking forward to this.
When he looked at the song.
There were times when I could have murdered her, but you know I would hate anything to happen to her. No, I don't want to see her.
Oh, man.
Imagine if that sounded like the Smith song, too, by the way. It'd be so different. What title?
I don't want to see her girlfriend in a coma.
Yeah!
Do it, dog!
Let me just say that Omar was terrible as always, but how about those Morrissey fans, by the way? Well done, you guys. Enjoy the show. We'll have more tickets for you tomorrow here on the Kevin and Bean Show. This has been Omar Rogi.
Omar Rogi, that's our game, and how much fun we had. Now you know that I didn't lie when I told you he was pretty bad.
I'm not sure why you schedule this recap the day after a time change weekend, because I'm just out there fighting my fight, man, just in battle.
And
you do nothing but mock me for the good work that I'm doing on behalf of the American people.
It makes me laugh how incredibly outraged you get and how incredibly serious you are about such an insignificant thing.
I am committed to the cause, man.
It's time for...
Thanks for that. Daylight Savings Tweet.
Bing!
Right. Here's what you need to know. And I don't know what Kevin is going to try to accuse me of doing bad things on the internet. But here's what you need to know. Is this weekend was the conclusion of summertime, as they call it in Europe, which is a better way to call it, by the way, because then you avoid all of this. But people mistakenly call it daylight savings time that's just ended. And it's not that. It's called daylight saving time. There's a right way to say it and a wrong way to say it. And all I try to do is just gently nudge people in the direction of being correct about it. So we're in standard time now. So as people were tweeting about it over the weekend, I was just trying to weigh in with, hey, heads up, here's what it's really called.
So being corrected, the OC Register tweet, and then they corrected it and pulled down the original tweet. And his response was...
Okay.
Heartbreaking. The OC Register is a good paper, too. A journalist should know it's saving, not savings.
But they fixed it for you, Bean.
That was after they fixed it.
No.
They fixed it after that.
Yeah, they fixed it after I pointed it out. They fixed it, yes, which I was very grateful for.
Okay. Time Magazine.
Oh, no.
Tweets. Daylight saving time is this weekend. Here's what you need to know. Now, I don't understand... Oh, I see what you're saying. Let me just read Bean's tweet then, because I thought daylight saving was the...
Correct way
to do it. So then Bean corrects them by saying, no, standard time is this weekend. For Christ's sakes, your name is Time.
I mean, time is right there in the name. Shouldn't they know about time things?
Boston University tweets.
Now, Allie, before Kevin reads this, that's the good Boston College or the bad Boston College?
Well, Boston College is the good Boston College.
So
BU.
Boston University, you don't mind if I make fun of
them? No, it sucks to be you.
So this is BU. Pros, an extra hour of sleep. Cons, less daylight. Remember, daylight savings time ends tomorrow, so set your clocks back. Terriers. Is that what they are, terriers?
Yes.
So then Bean responds to that. If there was any doubt as to the worst college in the world, now you know.
I mean, really?
Hashtag saving, not savings.
Pretty accurate, though, right,
Daylight
Allie?
Savings tweet.
Bean! Kevin and Bean tweeted, happy daylight savings time. Now, we do that on purpose because we know that it annoys Bean, and Bean responds, the call is coming from inside the house. Now, I got to give you the credit for something here, Bean. You're actually trying to put some humor in.
That's not bad.
Yeah. It was very hurtful, though, to see my own show propagating the incorrect name, though. I'll tell you.
Because in the past, you've just been straight annoyed.
Yeah.
But at least now you're trying to put a little humor in it. Alaska Air tweeted, thanks to daylight savings ending, you've got an extra hour of vacation. Where will you spend it? And Bean responds, if
If I can't trust you to get saving, not savings right, how can I trust you to fly a plane?
Oh, my gosh.
Daylight savings. Tweet.
The pilots are up there tweeting for Alaska.
That guy makes a good point, whoever wrote that.
Nope.
Sounds like he knows what he's talking about. AM History Museum. Daylight savings time message from our historical clock of America. You gained an hour. Come visit me. I'm 13 feet tall and better than IMAX. That's their tweet.
Okay. Right.
And Bean says to them, hope you're better at telling time than you are knowing the difference between saving and savings in DST. Clocks are dumb.
Oh, wow.
Well, the American History Museum has a clock that's tweeting for them in this case. And I just wanted to point out, don't ever trust a clock.
Thanks for that. Daylight savings. Tweet.
At DirecTV says, realizing you'll get another hour to binge watch because hashtag daylight savings time. And Dean writes, hope you spend the extra hour learning it's saving, not savings.
And that would hurt because I love DirecTV, yeah, man. I hate to see them go over to the evil side.
But you're willing to take them on?
I am.
At FEMA.
Oh, no.
Tweets reminder, turn back your clocks 1 hour and check the batteries and the expiration dates on your smoke alarm. And then they hashtag it daylight savings. And Bean says, hey, Brownie, you're doing a terrible job. First of all, a reference to a guy who ran FEMA
10 years ago.
Jared Katrina.
Hey, Brownie, you're doing a terrible job. A, Puerto Rico. B, it's saving, not savings. I'll give you a pass on B if you'll take care of A and stat.
See, try to do a little good in the world. Get them to
daylight savings.
Maybe
tweet.
Help out fellow Americans in Puerto Rico. By the way, great mention, though. I got to give FEMA some credit because it is a helpful reminder to check your batteries and your smoke detectors at the time you change your clocks twice a year. We got an email from a listener this morning named Marie who wrote and asked me to spread that word. Her neighbor's house burned down yesterday.
Oh, no.
Because the smoke detectors weren't working. So it is very serious, and it is a good opportunity this time of year to at least check your batteries.
And then Bean tweets to his many followers, this concludes this weekend's hashtag saving, not savings battle. Thanks for your patience and all the help you gave me, too. I love my time warriors.
Yeah! Time warriors.
I Bean. Hate you.
I love my time warriors.
Come on, Bean.
We'll meet back here same place, same time next April, shall we?
Daylight saving.
LA Noce's Alternative Rock. It's the world famous K-Rock and the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:50.
In for Ralph Garman. You sure about that?
8:50.
Okay. Sound like you weren't sure.
Yep.
In for Ralph Garman. Here's Alan McKay with the Showbiz Beat on a Monday morning. What's going on?
Hey, I just want to thank Pepperoni Playboy on Twitter for sending me this story.
Okay.
Pepperoni Playboy. Tyrese, he's been having some little breakdowns on Instagram. He's fighting with The Rock. He's fighting with everybody in his movie, Fast and Furious. Too fast, too furious. Everyone's furious about being fast. Well, after he claimed that none of his friends were showing up for him during his ongoing legal battle with his ex-wife, it appears that two of his close pals have come through with a very generous donation. He shared a bunch of photos with Will Smith and Jada Pinkett Smith and claimed in a very emotional caption that the A-list stars have given him $5 million to help with his growing legal fees.
Wow.
This was the caption. When we show up for each other, there's nothing that can't be done. I repeat, nothing. My wife kept the news away from me because I've been on with lawyers all day, but our family and our sister, Jada Pinkett Smith, and my brother, Will Smith, just sent us $5 million to keep us afloat.
Are they very close friends?
I would assume so. But here's the part that just made me chuckle. The apparent donation, however, came with a request. You guys asked me to get off and stay off the internet now that my daughter's legal fees will be paid, and I will listen. I mean, like, right after I post this. So it's like, oh, Tyrese, maybe. And who knows if they even wanted it out there that they gave him this donation.
Yeah.
But if you say to somebody, hey, listen, I'm giving you this, just stay off the internet. It's going to be best for everyone. And then his first thought is, I better post some pictures and a caption saying exactly what happened. Maybe Tyrese. Oh, sweet spirit.
Right. Will Smith has a lot of money.
Yeah.
He does.
Yeah.
That's my takeaway.
That's the takeaway. And he's also a Very good friend. Yeah. It's good stuff. You guys, breaking news. We now have a premiere date for American Idol.
Okay.
Sunday, March 11th at 8 p.m.
All right.
Moving on. Really a bummer of a story after the World Series. Not only do the Dodgers lose, but Yasiel Puig gets home and realizes, oh, hey, my house has been broken into again.
That's a bummer.
Yeah. If you'll remember, back in March, they stole about $500,000 in jewelry from him. And this time, although his house was broken into again, he was okay with it because they only took $150 worth of costume jewelry.
Oh, they must have thought they scored again.
Right? They're like, look at all these diamonds. Wah, wah. Oh, what's the fake diamond called? Like Diamondique or something?
I think so, yeah.
Or is that just a stripper? I don't know. Regardless, he's not feeling so bad because the cameras at TMZ caught up with him outside of the Laker game, and here was his response.
Are you worried about your house getting broken into again? Los ladrones.
No, man, I have too much money in my life.
For real?
Yeah, I don't worry about that.
Not worried about it at all, huh?
Wait, he said this. I worry about somebody broke my house. I have a lot of money.
Which one?
You have plenty of money, huh?
That's awesome.
I feel like he's not really caring. He's just got too much money, but maybe a new security system.
Right.
Maybe a security guard. Maybe a dog.
Sure.
Something.
All of the above.
Yes.
It is funny. That is typical Yasiel Puig, though, in the way that he responds to things that everybody else would respond to it differently, and that's him.
I miss him.
I love it.
I miss the Yasiel Puig times.
He's still alive. It's just baseball's over.
I mean,
yeah,
it's just sad. We talked about this earlier, and somebody on my Twitter brought up a great point. Talked about Taylor Swift's new album, Reputation, not even out until Friday, but already sold 400,000 copies. Of course, pre-sales from various online outlets, Amazon, Target, Walmart, iTunes. But Target says it's the chain's biggest music pre-order ever. And Bean, you brought up, why are so many people pre-ordering an album? And a guy on my Twitter brought up a great point. Because that bitch makes you do it for boost points to get tickets to her show.
Is that true?
Yes!
Oh, I didn't know that.
You pre-order and you get
boost points?
Boosted up.
Oh,
you were here when Ralph and I got
into an argument
with the Ticketmaster guy.
But that is, again, like I said, the last three albums, she sold over a million copies in a week in a time where almost no one is selling. People don't buy music to own anymore. They just stream it.
Yeah.
That's why that's what's so curious is they're putting down money for this. Yeah, that may have been a factor this time around as well. But it's just been a curious thing about Taylor Swift fans for a long time.
It's a cult. That's
right?
What I'm getting.
That's what it
right?
is.
It's a cult?
It's a cult.
It's
That's
a cult.
What we're saying.
It is a cult. Kristen Bell was on a show called The Talk last week, and she mentioned that her and her husband, Dax Shepard, lived through every parent's worst nightmare. Her daughters, Lincoln and Delta, walked in on them boning. Yeah.
How old are they?
It doesn't say in the story, but young enough to, I think, ask some questions.
Sure.
Because she assured them that that's how they were made, and then got out of the situation by telling the girls that mommy and daddy were going to take a nice little nap for a couple of minutes. So if you guys could leave. But I'm just curious. A couple of minutes, Dax? Let's talk about that, shall we? Who's with me? Bean, right?
Because she's saying that's a short amount of time for sex.
Oh, I get it.
Yeah,
now.
A couple minutes.
Gotcha.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. And in case you missed it, over the weekend, Kanye West made his first live appearance in over a year on Saturday night. He hopped on stage with Kid Cudi during the rapper's concert in a Chicago location called the Aragon Ballroom. They did Kanye's Father, Stretch My Hands, Part 1 together, and the crowd went absolutely nuts. Which is delightful. Glad he's back. But then I saw another story of Kanye West, which made me laugh so hard, that he was meeting his wife, Kim Kardashian, at Nobu in Malibu. But first, he stopped off at an Italian restaurant in Santa Monica to get takeout, to bring to dinner at Nobu so he could eat whatever he got for takeout at one of the greatest restaurants ever.
That's awesome.
It made me laugh
so hard.
Like, you've got to be Kanye in order to get away with that.
To even have that thought come into your mind.
Exactly.
Who thinks I'm going to bring food to a nice restaurant?
That's just insanity.
Because, baby, I'm awesome.
Oh, right? That.
Awesome.
That is true. Right?
I'm also awesome. Y'all know.
You know what else is awesome? Being a waitress in Centerville, Ohio, at the Outback restaurant. Because Chrissy Teigen came in, and this young waitress, Michaela Scott, said she was so nervous.
And you hear a bell, I'm sorry.
Yeah, there should be a million bells for Chrissy Teigen.
Oh, I thought we were talking about the waitress. Sorry.
He's like, I don't know how hot she is.
That's what I was saying. I don't know how hot she is.
Okay. Very true. No, Chrissy Teigen.
Tracking.
Yeah, she goes into this Outback restaurant in Centerville, Ohio, and she downed a crispy chicken sandwich, some appetizers, and she was worried she'd eat the entire Bloomin' Onion and washed it down with a glass of Pinot Grigio, which, that's enough of a story for me. Chrissy Teigen just eating that food makes me love her even more. Until I found out her tip on the check, $1,000.
Wow.
$1,000. And, of course, Michaela Scott, super appreciative. But a team player. She shared the bonus with the rest of the crew and used the remainder to fix her car. People are good in this story. Plus, that Bloomin' Onion.
How about that?
That is delightful. Who's with me? Those are freaking good. Dipping in whatever that tangy sauce is. Damn.
Right.
Who is with me?
Are you hungry right now?
I am starving. Let's talk about some birthdays on today, November the 6th. Ethan Hawke is 47, Rebecca Romaine, 45, Thandie Newton, 45, Taryn Manning, 39, and actress Emma Stone is 29. I'm Allie McCann for Ralph Garman, walking the showbiz beat.
Keep listening for your chance to win a six-pack of tickets to K-Rock's Six Flags Magic Mountain Takeover, November 18th. Go to krock.com for more info, and your chance to win is coming up very soon here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Not only that, it's coming up in less than 10 minutes. Megan Holliday, our friend, is going to be broadcasting from the park that night from 6 till 10. You can ride Batman the Ride, The Riddler's Revenge, Green Lantern's First Flight, and many more. That is courtesy of Justice League in theaters everywhere on November 17th. So if you want the hookup for the six-pack of tickets to the K-Rock Six Flags Magic Mountain Takeover, stand by. That's coming up. Omar is back in here?
Hey! So Friday, after the show, we had a meeting, and we were all sitting around, you know, shooting the breeze, and really not talking about much that we were supposed to talk about. And Omar says, hey, did you guys start your Christmas shopping yet? And I just looked at it and was like, dude, it's November. What was it? 3rd.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
It's the 3rd of November.
Yeah. Right.
It's not even Halloween yet. I mean, Thanksgiving.
It is Halloween.
It's not even Thanksgiving yet.
Yeah, but...
And then he says the worst thing possible. He looks at me and he says, Kevin, I got you something that's awesome.
Already.
Because when you see when you see something that screams KevDog,
you have to get it
immediately.
Agree.
You know, and these guys are so tough to shop for.
Impossible. What do you get the guys that have everything?
Right?
Right?
So I saw this thing and it just screamed KevDog to me.
Yeah.
Amazon makes it so easy. One click, boom.
Easy.
You know? So yeah.
Kevin was beside himself with how mad he was about that.
Just because not only are you already Christmas shopping,
yeah,
which makes me feel lame, you've already bought me something specifically.
Oh, yeah. I am that guy who I go out Black Friday if there's good deals, but I have like 95% of my Christmas shopping done that weekend.
Yeah, that's so
really
annoying.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Wow.
Absolutely.
That's annoying, right?
Because
it's impressive.
But the reason I do that is because if I don't do that and go out of my way and do that, then the holidays aren't as fun for me. And you know what?
It gets stressful.
Right, it gets stressful. And I ran into this, I'm not sure if it was last year. I love getting Christmas presents and getting, I think, I would think, thoughtful and, you know, Christmas presents that you guys would enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was last year where I was strapped for time and I had to get everybody Christmas cards. And now I know you guys say, oh, Christmas cards are fine or whatever.
Gift cards, you mean?
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, gift cards. I don't feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
I like to get people something personal that I think they would enjoy. So when
right,
I see
so now
something,
the pressure's on. Now, not only has Omar bought me a Christmas gift, but it's thoughtful.
Yeah. Yes.
And now I have to think, okay, now I need to get on it and find him something thoughtful.
I'm fine with
the
gift card.
You're making me look terrible.
No, I'm fine with the gift card. I'm not putting this on you.
You're
I'm just saying
this
that
bad juju on me.
It gives me
don't
joy.
Don't put that on me, Ricky Bobby.
I'm not trying to do that. You know, I just love the fact if I would have find something like for Bean or Allie, and this is like, I see it and it
dragging
instantly,
you guys into it now. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it instantly
reminds
me.
No, in the past, he's gotten me Star Wars stuff that was so kind. So, like, he puts thought into it.
I know, and that's extra pressure.
Okay.
Right?
Because now he's putting thought. I'm not trying to put any pressure on you.
Not only is he Christmas shopping, but he's putting thought into it.
What a dick.
You know what I mean?
Right?
Now, here's my normal schedule. My normal schedule is wait till the 24th and then just the pressure's on.
Yeah.
Just find whatever's left.
Right.
And give it to your friends.
Oh. Okay.
Doesn't that make you so nervous, though?
No, that's like, how I live my life.
Oh, well, yeah. Who are we talking to?
Yeah, exactly.
I think it's incredibly impressive. I think Allie nailed it, Omar. I think more of us would like to be more like you if we were as organized as we
thought.
Were.
No, but just in this regard.
Just in this one thing.
I mean, when you really stop and think about it, there's nothing wrong with buying a Christmas present if you find the perfect thing for somebody, whether it's July or it's October or it's Christmas Eve. I mean, why not? You know Christmas is coming unless you're just waiting to see if that person's going to still be alive or not.
I'm hoping he dies between now and then.
Otherwise,
save me a gift.
That's what I hope for everyone on my Christmas list. But otherwise, I mean, it's something that you know is going to be required of you within a couple of months. Why not get it out of the way? Why put it off until all the last
minute? I think that's what bugs me, Bean, is that I want to be like Omar is in this particular case, and I couldn't be further from that.
You know, it's funny you say that because I still have this present that you gave me. This
that
was
you
probably no. You gave it to me about 8 years ago.
Okay,
and you bought it in August. I don't know if you remember this.
I don't remember that at all.
You got me this cool toy Japanese turntable.
Oh, that's right.
Remember that?
Yeah.
And you bought it in August, and you told me about 8 years ago. It was like, yeah, you know what? I already got your Christmas present.
Yes. And did I was you like, think, what? Oh, you son of a bitch! Now you put the pressure on me.
Exactly.
So I started this.
Now the tables are turned, mother effer.
6.7 K Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:42.
I wanted that story to never end, Allie. I enjoyed it so much.
Thank you so much.
Really, it was the best.
Can I buy the movie rights to that story?
Listen, Bean, I'm telling you something about biopsies that I had Friday. It was a very touching story.
And then at
the end, you're like, I wasn't even understanding it. I tried listening.
Yeah, but I wasn't alone on that. It was a terrible story, right?
Listen, it could have been told better, but...
You see me saying that you didn't understand a single part of it by about 1 second.
I was very confused.
I know it's hard to believe that the show could be worse off the air, but it actually is. All right. 9:42, time for our final look at the show this week. Here's Elliot Farrell.
A big weekend for our man Sean Combs, P. Diddy, Puff Daddy, Diddy, all of those names. He posted a video over the weekend revealing that he has changed his name yet again.
I decided to change my name again. I'm just not who I am before. I'm something different. So my new name is Love, a.k.a. Brother Love. I will not be answering to Puffy, Diddy, Puff Daddy, or any of my other monikers, but Love or Brother Love, okay? It's my birthday. I feel good. God is the greatest. I give all glory, and I thank my mama and daddy. Mwah!
He thanks his mom and daddy, but he is turning his back on the name they chose for him.
For the fifth time, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Oh.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
I mean, not by that.
No?
No.
Are you going to call him Brother Love?
I mean...
All the times you run into him?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess that's how... I guess we'll refer to him that way when he comes up now.
No.
Right? That's what he wants to be called.
No. No,
well, we switched from Puffy to Diddy.
Yeah, you get a couple. That's it. I mean, come on, let's not abuse the privilege.
Two is Kevin's limit.
That's it.
What is the point of this?
I don't know.
Okay. I don't know. It's just weird.
Just imagine a grown-ass man waking up one day going, I would like to be referred to as Brother Love. Start calling me Brother Love. Wouldn't your friends just say, no, I'm not going to do that?
I refuse.
My friends would punch me.
What would your name be, and yours as well, Kevin, if you could change it to a nickname right now and we had to call you this nickname, what would it be?
Captain Magic.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Bean?
I would like to be known as Astro Boy, please.
Astro Boy.
Astro Boy.
All right.
Wow, pretty rough after the Dodgers World Series there. I don't know what you're doing.
Not
with
Astros.
That.
No,
oh,
Astro.
Okay.
Space. Right. Space themed. Gotcha. Okay. How about you, Allie? You have a name?
I don't. I think Chip does.
No, I'm just saying that now that he's not going by it, I'm now P. Diddy.
So, oh, Chip is P. Diddy.
Congratulations.
Okay.
She's claiming it. That's nice.
It's available. Right.
Yeah. Maybe I'd be like Return of the Mac. It's a long one. And I didn't think it through. And I'm going to move on to another story.
See what I mean about Allie talking to us?
Hate you. Hey, you guys remember that Playboy Playmate who posted a photo of a nude 71-year-old woman on Snapchat with the caption,
woman.
If I can't unsee this, then you can't either.
From that inside a locker room?
She was in a gym locker room posting a picture of a naked 71-year-old woman. Well, that woman, Dani Mathers, she had the choice of completing 240 hours of community service or serving 45 days. She chose the community service, and she had a little check-in with the judge. And the judge is none too happy, pointing out those hours need to be completed by January 17th. And she has only completed 56 hours of cleaning up graffiti. So she needs to kind of get serious about this.
Out of how many?
And get it done out of 240.
That may not sound like a lot, but Bean and I did, what did we do, Bean, 130?
Something like that.
It took forever.
Takes a long time.
Takes a long time. Yeah. So maybe get to it.
Right. Well, we also had a full-time job, too. I don't know what this former Playmate does with her time, but she may, you know, she just may be able to dedicate a lot more hours to it than we did.
Why'd you guys have to do it?
That's not important. I don't get bogged down in the details.
I mean, we don't have that kind of time.
Are you
sure?
Keep it out of the weeds.
Just move on.
Come on, Captain Magic. What'd you do?
Sorry I brought it up.
Okay. Not sure if you heard about this, but you know that I have a Harry Styles Google alert on my phone. So when I found out that he was performing in London and was chucked with a kiwi and wound up slipping on it because he has a song named Kiwi, so people in the audience thought, hey, we should buy kiwis and chuck them at
That's
our
a great
favorite
idea.
Singer.
Nice thinking.
Yeah, not good. He actually fell during the song, and it appeared that it was indeed a kiwi. Well, he was performing in Manchester, and those people said, we are not going to have this happen again to our beloved Harry Styles. So what did they do? They banned the sale of kiwis to people under 25 years old. And I don't know how to pronounce this grocery store, but I believe it's called Asda.
Okay.
And they said they issued a warning to their staff saying to be aware of the sensitive situation. And they asked for identification from any kiwi-wielding customers that they suspected to be under the age of 25. They wanted to, quote, protect a fellow Mancunian from bad kiwis amongst us. I just think that's great. They're protecting him.
Right.
But what if you were 23, didn't listen to Harry Styles, and really just wanted kiwi?
You're out.
You're
out
screwed.
Of luck.
Yep. You are absolutely screwed. All right, some great news, you guys, over the weekend.
I'm sorry, some what?
Great news.
Okay.
All right. Over the weekend, Saturday, at Jim Henson Studios in L.A., Patton Oswalt married Meredith Salinger.
Yay!
I'm so happy for him.
So happy for him. They went public with their relationship in June at the L.A. premiere of Baby Driver and then announced their engagement the following month. And the pictures that they released on both Twitter and Instagram are beautiful. They are just beaming. Patton's daughter, Alice, was one of the flower girls. Just some of the most beautiful, sweet pictures you have ever seen, with captions like, true love, true happiness, forever and always, the Oswalts. I love it so much.
That's nice.
And I looked at Meredith Salinger's Instagram because, like most kids in the 80s, they were obsessed with Meredith Salinger because they wanted to be her in all the movies. And she had a picture with someone that we would all recognize. And it said, it is a testament to Patton that he allowed the first boy I ever kissed to be at our wedding. Granted, that boy has remained a dear friend of mine since seventh grade. She then goes on to say that this person has been there to celebrate all of her milestones. The premiere of Natty Gann when she was 15, her sweet 16, the 30th anniversary of Natty, and now her wedding. And she wrote, I adore you, you're a dear friend, and I am so blessed to have you in my life. And then she posted a few pictures with her first smooch in seventh grade. And it turned out to be our mayor, Eric Garcetti.
What?
That's what I'm saying. Who knew?
He's a beautiful man. A beautiful man.
Yes, he is. Just lovely, lovely pictures. If you get a chance and you want to feel like love is real, feel free to check out their Instagram.
Good and watch stuff. Patton's stand-up.
Yes, on absolutely.
Netflix. It's very good.
Yeah, it was released mid-October called Annihilation, and it is really, really good. He talks openly all about the grief he went through when his wife passed away, and it's just, it's wonderful. It is a great, great thing. Like birthdays today. Lots of people. I believe Emma Stone, I remember.
How do you lose that more than once in a day?
Not sure. I lost it again. Honestly, I think it's Sally Field.
Look him up.
Ethan Hawke. Look him up.
That's the second one Chip's given.
Thank you, Chip. No, this was actually another day I lost him. I'm just good at losing stuff. Yeah. Lots of birthdays today. Celebrate birth. I'm Ellie McKay for all.
The SoCal Helpful Honda dealers are handing out random acts of helpfulness. We all win with a commercial-free drive home today at 5 p.m. on K-Rock. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. Tom DeLonge went on Joe Rogan's podcast and is breaking out some all-new truth about aliens.
He knows a lot of stuff.
He knows a lot of stuff. Yeah. So we've got that for you tomorrow morning. We also have comedian Bert Kreischer, who is perhaps the craziest person on earth.
He is a nutball, and I love it.
Can't wait for him. And we've got your tickets for Morrissey at the Hollywood Bowl and your tickets to see the Clippers play the Lakers November 27th. That's all tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.